This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Wong Shaning and Julian Ng. It's 7.36 in the morning, Wednesday the 8th of January. And in about half an hour, we're going to be having the Breakfast Grill, where Julian, you'll be speaking with Dr. Daryl Weber, CEO of the Roundtable on Sustainable Palm Oil.
That's right. This is a certification body for sustainable planting in palm oil. And we know that this is getting more and more important as we see the raging fires in Australia. So this would have lessons for us. And also, I think this is an outgoing CEO for RSPO. So we'll talk to Dr. Daryl Weber about his experiences and his thoughts as to what to do with the growing population and with how to feed the world with crops like palm oil.
Exciting stuff, and that's happening after the 8 o'clock news, so be sure to stay tuned. But in continuing the theme of climate-related activities, Jakarta has been seeing significant flooding over the past few days, and the death toll has now risen to 66, according to authorities, with two people still missing after the city was hit by some of the most powerful monsoon rains seen in years. Now, Jakarta and its surrounding areas have been pounded by torrential downpours since New Year's Eve, causing flooding and landslides that forced thousands to flee their homes.
Now, things could get worse as heavy rain and thunderstorms are forecast in the days ahead. Jakarta and the central area of Java, Indonesia's most populous island, are expected to receive as much as 4 inches of rain in the next few days. Now, Jakarta is also one of the world's fastest sinking cities. It is particularly prone to flooding because it was built on swampy grounds. Experts say Jakarta's growth and overpopulation have become unsustainable due to rising sea levels, which is why the Indonesian government is planning on moving the country's capital to mitigate some of these problems. And Jakarta is expected to encounter even due to climate change. Now, this project is expected to take a decade and cost as much as $34 billion.
So for more on the economic impact of the recent floodings, we turn this morning to Enrico Tanuwijaya, economist with UOB Indonesia. Thank you for joining us, Enrico. So what is the projected economic damage from the flood, and is it going to be hindering incoming FDI?
The economical damage of the flood is actually not insignificant, which means it is quite significant, but not to the extent that it is damaging. Firstly, because the proportion of Jakarta's contribution to the overall GDP is actually not small, given its status as the nation's capital. So, for example, the contribution of Jakarta's GDP has been up from about 15% 10 years ago in 2011. Now it's about slightly more than 17%. Yeah, this is as of late 2018. So, meaning it is actually not small. It is estimated that basically because of the flood, the economic loss is estimated around 17 to 18 trillion rupiah, which is somewhere in the ballpark of about USD 1.3 billion. As a comparison, the Indonesian Chambers of Commerce before, in 2013, during one of the severe flooding that took place also in Jakarta, estimated that the economic impact back then was around 20 trillion rupiah. Of course, at the prevailing exchange rate, will be amounting to probably more than what we've seen right now. However, whether it's hindering the incoming FDI or not, I guess it is not necessarily so, because most of the FDI that comes into Indonesia, in terms of the actual place that they invested in, may not be in Jakarta solely.
And is there going to be a regional impact on this? Because we are reminded of a similar situation during the Bangkok floods in 2011.
Regional, if you're talking about other cities in Java, for example, because of the close vicinity, definitely. Because this will impact the supply chain of the food, transport, and other materials, be it raw or processed materials. But if you're talking about regional among the Indonesian neighbors, then definitely probably very, very, very limited. Yeah, if you're talking about within Indonesian region, I think Java as an island then will be more exposed, and hence the economic impact due to this regional connectivity in Java alone is the potential of the spiking in the inflation because of the supply disruption due to the flood.
And how has the flood affected the day-to-day activities of Jakarta?
It has been paralyzed, but well, I wouldn't say it's fortunate. Of course, this is a very unfortunate event, but it took place during a holiday, which is 1st January. Of course, the subsequent days have seen the activities being impacted. But starting from this week, when I started come back to work in Jakarta, things look pretty normal, actually, with the usual non-flood related traffic jam, meaning that people already back to their normal activities, and then the provincial government has continued to step up the efforts to, you know, to clean the rubbish that clog, you know, that clog all the drainage system and all that. So I think all in all, the impact is short-lived.
So Enrico, has the government's response then been enough to allay concerns of the business community there in Jakarta?
I don't think at this stage what has been done is enough, but I think this is the adequate short-term response. If you're talking about longer-term response, of course, setting aside the plan to move the capital to Kalimantan, of course, Jakarta in itself is facing a lot of geographical peril. For example, it is estimated that every year, on average, Jakarta is actually getting submerged by at least on average between 5 to 10 centimeters. And that's worrying because one estimate by 2050, the whole city can be submerged underwater. So basically, they have to start doing the long-term planning right now, like probably building the dam and then making the useful channels throughout Jakarta to, you know, to put all the drainage system properly into the sea and all that. We also have to bear in mind that Jakarta and other cities in Java are connected. So the government's effort cannot come only from the Jakarta local provincial government, but it has to come as a more national kind of approach.
Thank you very much for joining us, Enrico. That was Enrico Tanuwijaya, economist with UOB Indonesia, giving us a bit of insight into how the floods there in Jakarta have affected affected it economically as well as affected the business community there. And I think he does make a good point that they know that this is a problem over in Indonesia, and the Indonesian federal government has to start looking into it. They can't just leave it to the local governments and to the state governments to address this issue.
Yeah, it was a similar point also reflected in the Jakarta Post in an editorial piece. Their point is that the problem with Indonesia's current flood control programs is that every region operates their own program and nothing is done holistically. So every region does their own local response, and instead of having just like one big grand effective design. So Jakarta Post cites countries like Tokyo or even Netherlands where flooding occurs, but you don't hear or see headlines like what Jakarta faced.
That's right. With the example of Japan that was cited by the Jakarta Post, they have built this metropolitan area outer underground discharge channel, which is a massive underground flood water drainage system to protect Tokyo from the floods. The water tank, which is at 177 meters in length and also 25 meters in depth, very much helped Tokyo alleviate the flooding problem.
Yeah, so go away from the blame game, which is probably happening now, and really think holistically what to do.
Absolutely. And in the meantime, before the government looks into moving its capital, it still does need to address these flooding problems in Jakarta. So we will have to wait and see what kind of measures they implement.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.